Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is former Cameron Council member Dominic Castellaro. And Dominic is going to talk about the Pilgrim Pipeline and the oil trains. So, Dominic, how are you?
Good. How are you, Cynthia? I'm fine.
Good. You had mentioned on Facebook your kind of maybe displeasure over some of the Cameron Council members dealing with the Pilgrim Pipeline. Can you explain how you feel, what's going on?
Well, I really don't know. I was kind of surprised that a few of the council members voted present May 16th when there was a resolution proposed by Vivian Cornegay and other council members, Dorcia Players and Leo Golby, stating their opposition to the Pilgrim Pipeline being constructed in Albany, at the Port of Albany. It's actually a pipeline. And what kind of bothered me is that it's something where the residents of the South End, and especially as an apprentice, who are already under a lot of stressors because of the oil trains or the bomb trains and 787 and all these other environmental factors that are affecting their health and safety. We have one of the highest asthma rates in the whole counties in the South End of Albany. Why they didn't support this, when that's what the residents of the first and second ward wanted. They came out, they supported the resolution. It was surprising that other council members didn't support this. I was on the council for 12 years, and any time something came up that was specific to a ward or even a small or one neighborhood in a ward, we always went with whatever the common council members or members from that area asked us to do, especially if they had come out and said, the neighborhood association men talked about this, or we had a lot of contact and nobody was against this, and we would support it. And that was the case here. The residents of Ezra Prentice and the greater South End area wanted to see this resolution passed, and we had five council members that voted present, which I really don't understand. I can guarantee you if it was something in their wards and it was something that their constituents wanted to see passed or had action taken on, they would have been the first ones to stand up and say, please support, my constituents in this. It affects us directly, and this is what we want. And you would expect the other council members to support it. So that was kind of strange because, like I said, 12 years on the council, I never saw that. One of the members that voted present was Michael Bryan. I can recall at least three zoning changes in my 12 years on the council that affected his ward directly that he wanted to see change. Nobody ever voted against it. He voted in favor because that's what he asked us to do, because it was his constituents and his residents of the people he represented. So I didn't understand it at all, why they didn't support the residents of the South, and especially as apprentice, and especially because it's such a health and safety issue for us.
Okay, so can you give us an overview of what was discussed and what was voted upon and why you think it's so important and why you disagree with the members who voted present?
Well, it's a project called the Pilgrim Pipeline. It's really it should be Pilgrim Pipeline. It's two pipelines going from Albany to New Jersey and New Jersey to Albany. One would it being crude oil that gets by the bomb trains into the Port of Albany down in New Jersey refineries, and the other pipeline is supposedly supposed to bring refined products back to the Port of Albany for shipping out of the port. It'll be over 8 million gallons a day these pipelines can handle. Now, we're already in the South End in the port. It's already handling up to at least between Global and Buckeye Partners at the port. They've been approved to handle up to 2.8 billion gallons of crude oil already. And now this pipeline would even add more oil coming in, gasoline products. Coming in, and this has been ongoing for three and four years now, at least. I was started when I was doing the council, which was, you know, 3.5 years ago now, with this increase in oil. And we've had a couple of air quality studies done by DEC, and they've come out and said that the benzene levels are very high, that I believe it's hydrogen sulfide. Another one is very high. These are cancer-causing chemicals that are in the air. The DEC a year ago announced that they sent a letter to Global saying that they were seriously considering rescinding their negative declaration on the heating facility for Global because they think they erred in giving them a negative declaration, which meant that they didn't have to do a full environmental review. And now they may rescind that and require a positive declaration because of new information that has come out, some of it from these air quality studies that were done, some of it from the fact that we've had multiple train explosions carrying this crude oil. In fact, one just a few days ago in Oregon. So we have more information coming out on these things, and now the pipeline would only increase the amount of crude oil coming through the Port of Albany and right behind these neighbors' houses, and there's a premise. And the pipeline also is going to cross the Hudson in multiple places. I go underneath the river, and it's really not welcome. I just want you know, which was another surprising thing that these members on the council voted against this, because at the time there were about 26 municipalities that had already passed resolutions opposed to the Tolman pipeline, and all 32 municipalities that are affected in the state of New Jersey, including both houses of the legislature, which are kind of Republican down in New Jersey, are more conservative, they all voted against this project. And then to have council members in Albany not want to take a stand to vote present, it's just, to me, it was mind-boggling that they did this. Pipeline, some people think they're safer, but they leak a lot. And they have these new detectors on there. But it was just a case, I forgot the state now, but saw a farmer's land, 30 acres of his property was ruined from a leaky oil pipeline that leaked so slow that the detectors didn't pick it up, and they ended up having to excavate and remove 30 acres of dirt at least 20 feet down times 30 acres to get all the contaminated soil out, because it leaked so slowly that the detectors did not pick up the leak, and yet it had been going on for years. Imagine that getting into the Hudson River or getting into the soil around Ezra Prentice and the ground over there. It's just too many questions and too many health and safety issues with this pipeline.
Dominic, you're talking about leaking. Well, people know that in the event of the oil train exploding, it will cause, you know, major damage. But what is the risk besides leaking that it can affect the citizens of Albany with the pipelines?
Well, again, there's going to be air pollution. There's going to be, you know, they can't capture everything that comes out of in the air. In fact, even when they transfer the gas, it's going to have to go from the pipeline to either, you know, from the trains to the pipeline or to a storage, one of those huge gasoline tank things you see down at the port. There's a Global on them or another oil company. They're going to there while they wait to go through the pipeline. I mean, so there is going to be some escape. In fact, Global's own application for the heating facility that they want says that they can't capture, their own application says they can't capture all of the air escapes, all of what they call volatile organic chemicals, the rocks that escape when they're transferring the crude oil or the other petroleum products from one, say, the trains into the storage facilities or from the storage facilities onto the barge or tankers. They can capture a huge percentage of it, but not all of it. And when you're talking, you know, billions of gallons of this stuff, even if they capture 90% or 95% of it, it's still 5% of billions of gallons of this vapor and volatile organic compounds going into the air that we're going to be breathing in. Again, like I said, the study, Albany County's own health department study showed that the highest rate of asthma in the whole county is in Albany South End. You know, and part of it might be because the port is there. You know, and so they're going to add even more stresses, like I said, onto this neighborhood, more chances of this, you know, air pollution that we breathe in. You know, again, the full study needs to be done before any of this can happen. So beyond just the leaks, it's also that possibility. And one of the things that they're afraid of is if they get the heating facility, and with these pipelines, is that the heating facility is going to be for what they call tar sands oil, which is going to come from Alberta, Canada. And that oil is so thick, it has to be heated. It's also filthy. It's filled with all kinds of chemicals and sand and dirt and all that stuff. That's why it's called tar sands. It has to be heated for it to flow through the pipes. And they're even to get it on and off the rail cars, it has to be heated. They would actually heat the whole rail car and to get it to flow off. And this stuff is so thick that it seeps through the ground, let alone the river. You can't even clean it. It would seep, it's so heavy, it would seep right to the bottom of the Hudson River, but it can also seep through the dirt because it's so heavy. So if that leaks, you're talking not only air pollution and possibly and water pollution if it's in the Hudson, you're also talking ground pollution. It's everything could be affected from this oil. So again, it's a major concern, especially for those of us that live here in the South End, and especially for those living in Ezra Prentice or Mount Hope Drive, which is, you know, within thousand feet of the global facility.
Now, when you posted the thing on Facebook, and you specifically mentioned Bailey, Jacqueline Crasher, O'Brien, Harry, and Frank Commisso. Were you at the meeting, and did you specifically talk to them after this present vote, after they voted present? Did you speak to them and share your displeasure over it?
I wasn't at the meeting where the vote was taken. I was at a meeting prior to that meeting, the previous meeting, and I spoke in favor of the resolution. It ended up being amended a couple of times from the original one. We also had set up a meeting prior to this 2 weeks earlier at the first council meeting, a special meeting. It was held in the mayor's conference room, but the mayor, it was not from the mayor. There was some of the citizens. We brought in attorneys from Riverkeeper. We also brought in a town council member from another town that had already voted against the building pipeline to meet with council members and explain why it was so important for them to vote in favor of this resolution. None of the council members that voted present came to that meeting, and yet they stood there and said they needed more. And one of the reasons when they voted present, some of those members said they needed more information. And yet we had an informational meeting, and they didn't go to it. Some of those council members wanted to hear from a representative of the Pilgrim Pipeline. So they had at the caucus, that week before caucus, they brought in a Pilgrim Pipeline, the lobbyist, not even a representative, but a lobbyist, to speak with them, along with the Riverkeeper lawyer, Kate Hudson, spoke to the council members about this, and talked to them. But I didn't talk to any of them directly after the vote. I did have some people call me out on Facebook. Judd Crash on his Facebook said I was lying and I should have been ashamed of myself, but I said he wasn't supporting the resolution prior to the vote, and I'll let his actions speak louder than his words, because at the vote, again, he voted present. He did not support the resolution. So again, what I said in an email, I didn't put it out publicly. It was an email to a group of people of all the United for Safe Energy that I'm a member of, asking them to contact the council members that were not supporting the resolution. They asked them to support it when the vote would come up on May 16th. He went public on his Facebook page to attack me personally by using words like, quote, liar and, quote, shameful. And then he went out and didn't vote for it. And that's all I said in my letter, was that he was not supporting it. So again, his actions spoke a lot louder than his words did. and he didn't support it. People will say, well, we voted president, you know, vote against it. But it takes 8 yes votes for it to pass a resolution in the Albany Common Council. So by voting present, you're not voting yes. So unless you get 8 yes votes, it doesn't pass. And these same members were the same ones that back in, it was either February or March, earlier in the year anyway, we had another resolution for Ezra Prentice area, and they also voted present then. So why they're not supporting the people in Ezra Prentice, why they're not standing up for the people in Ezra Prentice in the south end of Albany who are very concerned about their health and their safety, I have no clue. They won't explain it to me. I got sent emails out, they won't give me a reason, and they won't. And the other thing is, some of these members also, at the meeting, after they voted present, they leave before the meeting's over. There's people that are there that would like to talk to them and ask them why. And they go into the back room, into the clerk's office, and then run down the stairs before the meeting's over. You're an elected official. If you can't stand up and meet with the public and explain your vote face to face, then maybe you shouldn't be doing that job. If you can't go and meet with the people, then maybe you shouldn't be there. Maybe that's not the position you should be in. If you are afraid to meet with the public after you take a stand. Not every state you take is popular. I mean, I voted yes or no on many things when I was on the council. A lot of people didn't like what I voted for. The hassle I got over the fracking bills when I did the fracking ordinances, the amount of emails and stuff like that. But I would answer every one. I didn't run out of a room. I would stay there and discuss it with people and give my side of why I did things. The gun violence task force I did back in 2004. I probably got more letters and phone calls of people freaking telling me what was wrong with me, let the police do their job, blah, 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 with the gun violence task force and for any other piece of legislation I did. And yet that turned out to be one of the best things I probably ever did on the council. And at the council, and we came in agreement with Mayor Jennings at the time on this, and it worked out great. And you look at Albany now, from the early 2000s, when we were averaging between 10 and 15 homicides a year by guns, to what we have now following the report of the gun violence task force report and the things that we implemented from that report. I mean, how many gunshot victims do we have now compared to what we had 15 years ago? And it worked out great. But, you know, you have to take the heat sometimes if you're an elected official. And if you can't take the heat, then maybe you shouldn't be in the position. I mean, you know, really, it's you can't take it, then don't be there. If you don't want to, people are going to disagree with you. You don't take it personally. I mean, one issue I have with some of the people is that they take a disagreement personally. Even like I said, when Mr. Crasher, you know, on the Facebook thing, he said, called me shameful and a liar. And I didn't take it personally. I understand he's upset because I called him out on it, and I can understand that. But, you know, call me up and we'll discuss it. But then, like I said, your actions spoke a lot louder than your words. When you, on the very vote, May 16th, again, you voted present. When I had put out, and then, like I said, I didn't put it out publicly. I even have an email someone sent me from a council member saying that they were going to vote for this, that they were going to vote present. They couldn't support it. And I could have went out there and put that on my first Facebook page. I could have publicly put it out there. I could have sent the email. I didn't do that. I'm not out here to go after people publicly and attack them. When I named the names, is because someone through Facebook asked who were the people that didn't vote for the resolution. So I put the names out there. It's public information. You can go to the Common Council, go to the Koshawna Park, and ask how the vote went. It's public. It's on the city codes. It's on the minutes for every meeting, how people vote. It's actually on the official resolution. Once it passes, the vote's on there and how everybody voted. It's part of the official document. So I didn't put anything out there that wasn't public. I just said these were the people that voted present. If that's going to bother you to the point where you start calling people's names publicly, then, like I said, maybe that's not the position you should be in.
People run for office because they they care about the city. They have the best interest of the city when they step into the political arena. Why do you think these particular council members just voted present?
I really don't know. I mean, some explain the vote shift here. Saying they didn't have enough information, or, you know, they weren't comfortable, or maybe they were listening to what the lobbyists from Pilgrim Pipeline was saying. And I understand. I mean, that's fine. You know, that's how you feel, and that's how you feel, and that's fine. But it seems to be basically the same group that has been voting no on the mayor's budget proposals, on the red light cameras, on the trash fee, on about anything else, seems to be the same group. So maybe it's a political stand they're trying to take. I know some people are trying to position themselves for runs for next year. I mean, all the city offices are up for next year. A lot of gossip and rumors going around that this council person's got to run for treasurer, that one run, this person wants to run for mayor. So it could be positioning for next year. I really don't know. Some of the arguments for why they voted present on the Pilgrim Pipeline resolution that I found were pretty weak. They were, you know, I didn't think they were really legitimate. But it might be a political thing, and that happens too. I mean, it's a political position. People do want to, you know, stake to, you know, the territory out. You know, so that could be part of it too. You know, and that's not something going to come out publicly and say, "Well, I voted this way because I'm going to run for, you know, the city treasurer next year or something." And I'm trying to make a name for myself or something. So you're not really going to say that, but you want to see where people, how people feel and stand on issues. So sometimes that, you know, that does happen. I mean, it's part of the job. It's part of the way politics works. You know, so you do that. So I mean, that could have been part of it too. I mean, but nobody will admit to that. So it's hard to tell. I'm just looking at the pattern of how some of these votes go. And it always seems to be basically the same five or six people. This one was a little bit different because Mr. Herring voted present when he's been supporting most things. And Councilmember Robinson voted in favor of the resolution, where he has voted against some of these other items. So, you know, but basically it's the same four or five that seem to be, you know, voting as a block, I would say. You know, maybe they thought it was coming from the mayor. I don't know. This resolution, nothing to come from the mayor. Actually, this resolution, it's strange because it's one of the gas pipeline, not natural gas, but gasoline or liquid fuel like that. It's the only type of pipeline that either a city or a village, not counties, not towns, only cities and villages, under the New York State Transportation Corporation's law, not the transportation law, there's a small law, not very big, Transportation Corporation's law, I think it was 1909, gave the power to cities and villages that they would have to approve a gas pipeline, meaning liquid gas, not natural gas. It's about 107-year-old, this law, that gives them this power. It's not like it's up to NCON or the Thruway Authority. It's actually a municipality, and it has to be approved by a supermajority of the legislature, which means it all meets the common council. In a village, it would be the village board. But for a city of Albany, it would be the would have to give approval for them to construct this pipeline. There's a part of the pipeline that goes into the city's property, into the city boundaries. So they would actually have to come to the city, the people that want to build this pipeline, and get approval from the legislature. And it takes a supermajority approval. It's the only type of pipeline that's true for, is this pipeline. So even if they want to build it, they're going to unless they challenge that law in court, which has been done before, and every time it's been upheld, challenge that law. And again, that's why it's so important for Albany to send this message. But this resolution wasn't the official one saying no, because the pipeline construction company would have to approach the council and ask for approval. That's not what this did. But it was to send a message ahead of time
say, listen, we don't approve this. The city of Albany is not going to approve this pipeline within its boundaries. So don't even bother, you know, trying to come here because we're already voting against it, which was the message that these other municipalities that had already passed it were trying to send to the Pilgrim Pipeline people. We're not going to approve it, so don't bother. Don't spend all your money and don't have us spend all our money fighting you and have the DEC and the authority hold all these public hearings and spend all these hundreds of thousands of dollars to do the environmental reviews, and we're going to vote against it anyway. And you're not going to be able to build it in the Port of Albany. You're not going to be able to build it in these other villages. The seven villages and cities combined in New York State that actually have the power to say no under the Transportation Corporation's law. And so I believe six out of the seven now have already passed resolutions preliminarily saying that we're not going to support this. So, you know, it was kind of like a preemptive strike against the pipeline, and that's why it was, again, so important for this resolution to have the votes, and it did get the votes. I mean, it did get, you know, I believe 9 votes. I'm trying to remember, maybe 9 or 10 anyway. It was more, you know, they would actually have to get 10 yes votes in favor of the pipeline for it to be approved by the city. So that's not, it doesn't look like that would ever happen. But you know, we want to send a message. So why have to go through this? Why have to have a secret? Why have to have a scoping process? Why have to spend, you know, 2 years of doing all these public hearings when we're going to vote against you anyway, and it's not going to work? So it's a very big deal because, like I said, it's the only type of pipeline a municipality has to say over. The only one. And here was your chance for the common council to take a stand. And that was one of the things that was a little irritating, too, because some of the council members said that we didn't have to vote on this because, you know, they didn't think that they had the power that it affected them. And that's why we brought the attorneys in to explain the Transportation Corporation's law to them and say, this is the one chance you actually have the power to say this, to take a stand, and actually have the legal power to do so.
So, Dominic, in the closing moments, what's next?
I'm sorry, the closing moments, what? I got beeped out.
I asked, what's next?
What's next? For the Pilgrim Pipeline, it's, you know, it's up to whatever the DEC decides right now, how much further they're going to go. Or the company might, we've already had two pipelines, but the companies have already backed out already in the state of New York. So maybe they'll back out, too, and that's the best thing that could happen without going through the whole process. And on the boiler, just to bring it up, DEC was under a 60-day thing from the judge to make a decision on the heating facility, but they're appealing that decision because there's a stay in the 60 days. And we actually had a protest outside DEC this week asking them to follow through with the rescinding the negative declaration, initial positive declaration, so that a full environmental review would have to be done before the heating facility can be sited at the port for global, and that an environmental justice study would also have to be done, since Ezra Prentice on the south end of Albany is an environmental justice community, and we would like to see the environmental justice regulations put in place too before any heating facility is approved. So those are the two things right now, where those stand right now.
Okay, so I am sure that this conversation will be continued. You have been listening to former County Council member Dominic Casolaro. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can subscribe to iTunes, Focus on Albany. And if you have a comment or a question about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Dominic, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this very important issue. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening.